This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, today is the day that President Trump is supposed to release the JFK files. Will we learn anything new? Are there going to be a bunch of redactions? Will anything change? Was it Lee Harvey Oswald? Did he act alone? Was there a second shooter? Was it the CIA? Was it the mafia? We'll find out or we won't. Who knows? Welcome back. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I was joking around before earlier about the movie regarding JFK that Oliver Stone made in the early 90s. And Kevin Costner's character, Jim Garrison, who is the local district attorney who brought the case. Subsequently, many years later, the House Select Subcommittee on the investigation into the assassination of John F. Kennedy would conclude that there were grounds, you know, there was a conspiracy. The Warren Commission, in my mind, was a joke. I mean, it was a CIA front. But whether or not we'll ever find anything out in these files and change people's minds, or it'll just be confirmation bias, I don't know. The magic bullet theory, Arlen Specter's little baby, is ridiculous. Personally, a lot of people think that, well, not, I'm going to say a lot of people, but there are people that believe that Lyndon Johnson was behind this because of how Lyndon Johnson behaved in the car that day. And the fact that he had the most to gain by this, and that ultimately he would escalate America's entree into Vietnam versus John F. Kennedy, who apparently wanted to take us out of Vietnam. I mean, that's really the premise of those who believe that Johnson was okay with this and helped facilitate this, was the fact that there's a famous line from the movie JFK where he says, "Just make me president, I'll give you your damn war." And of course, this suspicion by which Jack Ruby killed Lee Harvey Oswald in that garage because he wanted to save Jackie Kennedy, the pain of having to go through a trial, which is ridiculous, and that he ultimately would die of cancer in a cell by himself. And that's strange. It's like a Jeffrey Epstein-style death, heart attack or cancer, I forget. I'm sure someone will let me know momentarily. And there's so many things about it. And you know, obviously, that was the shattering of this idea, I think you could say, of Camelot, which, I mean, really, you know, America was pretty divided back then, too. It's not like it was all love fest. I'd love to look back with rose-colored glasses on things, but the 1960 presidential election, which many people believe Richard Nixon actually won because of Chicago cheated, Cook County, Illinois cheated. I mean, it was a really, really close election. It wasn't like Kennedy won in a landslide in 1960 and was just beloved his entire presidency. And they were very ugly, fraught times in America. But the illusion of Camelot and then the death of the innocence of the American dream with that bullet in Texas that day, it's, you know, it's been one of those things that's been kind of fabricated in that sense. And obviously, we've had presidential assassinations before and attempts on presidents before. But the thing about the Kennedy assassination, which has always stood out, is the fact that there were so many just strange things around it, and all these little connect the dots kind of things with the New Orleans Mafia, and obviously his brothers, Robert F. Kennedy, going after the mob. You know, he had those hearings on Capitol Hill, which was based on the hearings that they had on in The Godfather Part II, a movie Matt DeSantis has never seen, where Frank Pantangeli, of course, pulls his famous Michael Corleone this and Michael Corleone that. But that was based on actual hearings that they had when Robert F. Kennedy Sr. was the Attorney General of the United States of America. So, but who knows? And you know, everybody has their opinions. And I mean, I've read a bunch of books on the assassination. I was obsessed with it for a while. I think I've read pretty much every book on the assassination. But the real question is, will anything actually come out that will change anybody's mind? Gerald Posner is a brilliant guy, and he wrote the book Case Closed. He's convinced it was Oswald acting alone, and he'll be on the show a little bit later today. I happen to think he's one of my favorite people. I'm not convinced, and I'm not convinced only because of the fact that I haven't seen all the evidence. So until I see all the evidence and make my own opinion, if the CIA is still covering things up, it leads people to believe that the CIA may have been involved, because there were a lot of reasons why they wanted Kennedy taken out. And I think there's a great line, again, from The Godfather Part II, again, a movie Matt DeSantis has never seen, where they talk about how to get Frank Pantangeli, who's kept 24/7 protection in a military facility. And Michael Corleone says, if history has taught us anything, it's that anyone can be gotten to. So, you know, is the idea that the government could have been behind the assassination of JFK that out of the realm of possibility? No, because if you look through history, there have been coup d'etats that have happened quite frequently. They just don't happen often in this country in violent manners, but they happen in other ways in this country. We've had rigged elections before. We've had things like the Hunter Biden laptop. We've had, there was a presidential election that was clearly rigged in the 1880s. So there's lots of things that, you know, throughout the course of history, the Ides of March were just a few days ago. We know human nature, and we know what people do to assume power. And the forces that wanted to get America bogged down in a long war in the southeast of Asia, if they were, you know, behind it, they got their wish. If the mafia was behind it because they wanted Robert F. Kennedy or Robert Kennedy to be out of the picture, so they could go on. Well, they got their wish because he was not going to, you know, he wouldn't be attorney general any longer. And then ultimately he would be assassinated. So here's White House Deputy Press Secretary Harrison Fields, a good friend of the show, great guy. And he says we're going to be shocked. So that's a big deal. If you're going to hype it up like that, let's not pull an Epstein here. You know, let's not hype this up only for it to be a big, huge disappointment. So shock away, baby. Take a listen.
The American people will have their hands on these documents, and there will be a story to tell. I won't preview that story, but let me tell you, the American people are truly going to be shocked.
I will just say this. If it was, in fact, the deep state that killed John F. Kennedy, you know, Oswald acting alone, but with all of his ties to the Soviets and his ties to the CIA and his ties to... So, you know, if it was the deep state that took out JFK, and for a long time, American presidents knew this. Like, let's say kind of the Book of Secrets that exists, you know, the Nicolas Cage movie, National Treasure, another movie I'm sure DeSantis has never seen. But let's say that there really is a Book of Secrets, right? And the first thing you find out is who killed JFK. First thing they tell you. And you say to yourself, all right, I'm president now. If I let the American people know, again, this is the option that the deep state facilitated the assassination. If I let the American people know that the deep state was able to kill a president, A, the deep state might try to kill me, but B, it may shatter the idea that our government is good. So I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep these files classified. And, you know, and that may have been Trump's thinking in his first term. Maybe he thought that that would shatter the belief that people had in their government. Except in his first term, he was taken out by the deep state. And they did everything they possibly could to not only stop him from being elected president, but to remove him from office. I mean, short of violence, they did everything they could to try to remove him from power and to neuter him as president. And then ultimately, they succeeded in removing him using the Hunter Biden laptop letter and the 51 former national security hacks who all signed that. So, and then ultimately, one day in Butler, Pennsylvania, on a beautiful summer day, he comes within a couple of millimeters of getting shot in the head and killed by a lone gunman on top of a roof. Who got there is anybody's guess. We don't know anything about this guy. We have no idea his international communications, no social media footprint. And somehow this dude's able to manage to climb onto a roof at a presidential event with a former president who's the Republican nominee for president and come within a couple of millimeters of blowing his head off. So my point is that if there is something in the JFK files that would truly shock the American people because it does implicate our own government in the assassination attempt of the successful assassination of Kennedy, then if there's ever going to be a president who's going to release him, it's Trump. It's Trump because first of all, we have to remove the veneer that all the people who work in government are good and that the government is capable of only good things. We have to expose something that Dwight Eisenhower, ironically enough, warned us about in his farewell address about the military-industrial complex. Because if our government did play a hand in the assassination of Kennedy, then it was probably with the help of the military-industrial complex or for their benefit. Certainly, they did benefit from it. And then a lot of Americans would go on to die in Vietnam. And we deserve to know the truth of that because we should not have fairy tales about our government. We should have the truth about our government. Camelot was a fairy tale. Okay, it's not real. Camelot was not real. The America in the 1960s, maybe you grew up then, was a very, very contentious country between civil rights issues, the domino theory of communism, the war in Vietnam, should we go, the Russians, we had the Cuban Missile Crisis, we had kids hiding under their desks, for drills in school. We came within a couple of seconds of nuclear war with the Soviet Union, with the Cuban Missile Crisis. So the idea that Camelot was shattered by a single gunman's bullet in Dallas is a myth. There was no Camelot. The Kennedy family myth, the ethos of that, of this beautiful family with this, you know, these beautiful young kids and this beautiful wife and this guy. I mean, I'm not judging the guy, but you know, there's a reason why there's no pool in the West Wing of the White House anymore. There's a reason why it's a press briefing room, you know, because that was this pool, if you catch my drift. So Camelot was a made up myth, but the myth that our government's all good and that our government only does the right thing and that our government would never try to take out a president is a myth. And if there's anyone who would expose that to the American people and treat us like adults and say, I think you can handle this, it's Trump. And maybe some of that is, quite frankly, revenge. Maybe some of that is revenge for what they did to him. And the fact that I don't think anyone can credibly rule out the idea that Donald Trump may have been an attempt on his life by our government, by people within the government who either set the circumstances by which a would-be assassin could get on that roof that day or they helped him get on the roof that day. But there's something about, I remember this quote that was said one time about Kennedy and the assassination. And they said, you know, the idea that someone who was so big and he was, look, I'm a fan of JFK. I really am. He is an outlier on the line of the progressivism that I've always talked about from what I've always said to you over the years is that there's a straight line of progressivism that exists from the Confederate States of America going all the way to Woodrow Wilson to Franklin Delano Roosevelt to Lyndon Baines Johnson to Barack Obama and then to the demented jello pudding brain we had in the White House recently. But I skip somebody. I always do. And I skip Kennedy. I skip him because he was not. I mean, he really was in many ways like a Republican. He gave a huge tax cut and he was not a kook. You know, I mean, I don't think he would recognize the Democrat Party today. I really don't. I don't think he would recognize it. But there were a lot of things he did that I think America should be very proud of. But the idea, some people always say the idea that one lone gunman could take out this young, charismatic, dynamic president is something that seems so anathemable to our thinking that we have to come up with other ideas. We have to come up with conspiracy theories because we just can't think that Lee Harvey Oswald is capable of doing something to take out somebody like JFK. Because he's too big. He's so big. He's larger than life. And Oswald, you know, with his Italian gun up there doing that. But I think that that's also a kind of a myth, too. JFK was a very flawed man. He's a very flawed human being, obviously. And his presidency, there were lots of things that were not great about it either. But certainly it's possible for a sniper to take out a president by himself. Sure, there is, of course. But it's also possible for other people to help him. And that's also possible, too. And so if you're a student of history, you've seen it all. You can't rule anything out, is my point. You just can't. Everybody has their opinion. Nobody knows for sure. Everybody has an opinion. And this is one of the things about our country that I love is debating this issue. I think Oliver Stone did a great job of laying out his argument in the movie. But that scene, the very famous scene from that movie where Donald Sutherland plays Mr. X, who is this special forces guy who sits down with Jim Garrison, played by Kevin Costner, and talks about all the things that should have happened that day in Dallas. You know, they would have had a team on site that would have made sure all the windows were shut. They never would have took that turn and slowed down the car to 11 miles an hour. That was made up. That scene never really happened in real life. Roger Stone said that Oliver Stone said he took that and made that scene as a basis of lots of different allegations that he had read over the years. But that actual scene never really occurred in real life, where this whistleblower comes forward and lays it all out like that. But it's a brilliant scene, nevertheless. Roger Stone, the political consultant who worked for Nixon, believes that absolutely 100% that it was Johnson behind it, that he... I mean, you can't facilitate an assassination necessarily, but that he at least knew about it, gave the green light for it, didn't stop it. And there's all kinds of people that have written books about that, too, and have argued that if you just watch his behavior in the car and you Zapruder film it, which has become a verb. When you watch something slowly in slow motion, people say if you Zapruder it, because obviously Abraham Zapruder's film from that day became the highlight of that. But we would learn many, many years later that that was not the full show, that they did not release the full Zapruder film. That was one of the surprises people found out many years later after the fact, you know. So anyway, I hope it comes out. I think that I'm not predicting one way or the other. And Matt, we should probably move Gerald to tomorrow to react, because obviously there's going to be nothing to react to today. So maybe we just reschedule him for tomorrow if he can do it. That would be helpful. I'm just going to say that, you know, nothing surprises me. So if it comes out to be a bunch of redacted nonsense and proves nothing, I wouldn't be surprised. If it proves that, yeah, it was the CIA and they whacked him and that Lyndon Johnson had knowledge of it, wouldn't surprise me either. But still, if you're Johnson, do you want to risk it and be in the car? You know what I mean? Like that's the only thing about the whole LBJ. LBJ may have known about it, but would you want to take a chance? Because you got to really, if you knew what's coming, you got to really trust in that sniper at that moment, or it's on you. You know what I mean? So I don't know about that one. And if it turns out to be the mafia, that would be the least surprising thing to me. And the only reason why I'm saying this is because I think the mafia is too disorganized. Really, truly, I think the mafia would be too disorganized. There's a lot of reasons why the theory of the mob and the crime family that controlled New Orleans back then was behind it. But none of that ever really made sense to me. And maybe it's because I'm Italian. I don't know. They never seemed like would have the resources to be able to pull this off. So I don't really put much stock into that theory. But I can't rule out the fact that it was the military-industrial complex taking out Kennedy because Kennedy was going to take us out of Vietnam. I think that would be a very compelling theory. And if that comes out today, I would be happy if the truth comes out finally once and for all, because I'd rather let my kids know the following. Kids, your government is not all good. Your government's not all bad. Your government is made up of people, and people are neither all good nor all bad. They're deeply flawed. And we have to understand the truth about that, and we have to understand the evil that our government is capable of doing. And we also have to understand that there's a lot of good that people can do who work in government, but it's not very black and white. And you also have to realize, too, that there are people that are going to use you and manipulate you for their own benefit, too, in life. And there are people that are willing to do very, very bad and dastardly dangerous things to try to get their way and to try to take power and make themselves rich and stay rich and powerful. I'd rather my kids know the truth about this than some mythological United States of America that never existed, which is, you know, all good and idealistic and everything like this. Our country's made a lot of mistakes over the years. We know that. And our country's also been divided since literally the day one. Day one. I mean, they argued about the Declaration of Independence for days. There's a reason why it was signed on July 4th. It wasn't originally supposed to be on July 4th. But they had arguments about it. And they had arguments about the Constitution. They had lots of arguments about the Constitution. Like big, drawn-out fights over this. And then they had duels and, you know, beat each other with canes. I mean, like, I would rather my kids know the truth about our country in that sense, which is that we are a country that we've always had a conflict of visions, to quote Dr. Thomas Sowell's book. It's always been a conflict of visions in this country. So don't fall for this idea that your government is all good, that your government's there to protect you, that your government would never take out its own president. I want them to understand the truth, because unfortunately, I think I grew up believing that this idealistic picture of America, and it wasn't until, I think a lot of us do. I think when we're young, we tend to be idealistic about things. I think that that's natural, and it's okay, because you don't want people to be necessarily cynical. But I also think that there's nothing cynical about the truth. I think truth for its own sake is important. And that's why when we debate things like pronouns, I always say that, you know, if we should probably be erring on the side of truth whenever we possibly can, even if it hurts somebody's feelings. Or in this case, if that is what's proven, shows that our country did something horrible. If that's what these files show, I just would rather the truth come out. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. All right, we got a lot to come. I'm wearing my Grand Hotel shirt, Cape May. Exit Zero, Grand Hotel. I'm really excited about this coming summer. We have our dates for our live broadcast. Ready? Write this down. June 20th, it is a Friday. August 15th, Friday. Halloween, 10:31, Friday. And 12:19, Friday. It's going to be great. That'll be our Christmas spectacular. And now is the time for you to start thinking about Memorial Day and the summer. Now, why would you stay at the Grand Hotel for your week-long summer vacation, you might ask? Very simple. Because unlike a shore house, if it rains, you got the heated indoor pool, you got the arcade room for the kids, you got the restaurant right on site, you don't even have to leave. It's all there for you. Plus, unlike a shore house, you don't have to worry about washing the towels and the sheets. And you also have kitchenettes. They've got kitchenettes and refrigerators, so you can buy some food, bring it in, and everybody wins. It's great. And the kids will love the pool, because some days the beach, you know, like the kids, I don't know, my kids especially, it's like the sand and stuff. They love the pool. Grand Hotel has that. So make your reservation today for the best rooms and the best rates. They've got wonderful plans. They also have their Spring Break Splash Package, which is coming up in April. All you got to do is go to grandhotelcapemay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com and make your reservation, and you'll be happy. You'll be thrilled. You'll love it there. It's a great place. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
More swatting incidents against conservatives happening. You know, I would just say Nick Sorter was swatted too. My dad and my sister were held down at gunpoint. Juanita Broderick, Joe Pags, and it's you know, of course, our buddy Sean Farish got swatted. Gunther Eagleman, who's a prominent poster on X, he's a you may follow him. He's got like a million something followers. And then Nick Sorter said both my dad and my sister were swatted tonight. A dozen cops attempted to kick my dad's door in at gunpoint. I mean, it's very dangerous. Juanita Broderick, well, I just got swatted. About 10 police and SWAT team showed up. They said the caller had said somebody inside was with a gun. So, I mean, and then our buddy Joe Pags. I will just tell you that this is a very dangerous and serious situation that needs the immediate attention of the United States Department of Justice. And what they need to do is they need to send out advisories to local law enforcement about this, because it's going to get someone killed. Someone is going to get killed. It's going to happen. I mean, it's inevitable. You cannot send cops loaded up to bear, the with guns, fired up, adrenaline, thinking that they're going into a life or death situation. And it's, you know, so far we've been okay, but you can't, you know, it's gonna end up ugly here. So this has to stop. The other thing too, I want to mention is that as we await the JFK files being released, there was a story regarding Elon Musk and some of the outrage. I saw this police conference earlier today, these people throwing Molotov cocktails on Teslas at a dealership to try to blow them up. And I just don't know. I don't understand what's wrong with people. I mean, have your opinion, disagree with your people, disagree with people's opinions, but the violence, man, and it's not our side doing it. You know, we heard for years and years about how we were these domestic violent extremists and that we had to be watched and they keep an eye on us because we might be domestic violent extremists and we could be terrorists and blah, 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 and all these other things. And we don't do any of this stuff. They do all this stuff. They do this stuff constantly. And it's just, it's frustrating. It really is. It's very frustrating to me. It's very frustrating to you. I know we're all in this together. It's a sad day in America that they do stuff like this. So one of the things regarding the JFK files, I just want to play this. This is a famed doctor who investigated the assassination, predicts what America could learn. This is Dr. Michael Baden, who is a pathologist who was part of the 1963 JFK assassination probe. He spoke with Fox News Digital about the Trump administration's efforts to release the classified files. And this is not a super long clip, but I think it's important just to kind of put a bow on what we were saying about the JFK files. Cut number six.
To investigate concerns that had arisen of possible cover-ups relative to the deaths of President John F. Kennedy in 1963 and Dr. Martin Luther King in 1968. So it was set up in 1977. I was asked to be the chairman of the forensic pathology autopsy panels for both investigations. And in investigating the deaths of the death of John F. Kennedy, our panel concluded that Lee Harvey Oswald fired three shots from a rifle at the president. The first one struck a curb, second one struck him in the upper back, and the third, and continued through Governor Connally. The bullet was recovered in the emergency room at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas. The third bullet is the one that struck the president in the head and was recovered in parts, was broken up near the front seat of the car on the floor.
So, you know, we'll see if that proves out to be the case with all these files coming out. That, again, goes back to this whole, you know, magic bullet theory, which was put forward by Pennsylvania's very own Arlen Specter. So there you go. But Chuck Schumer thinks you're a greedy SOB. A greedy SOB, and you got to pay your fair share. And you should have no problem giving your money to your government. You should have no problem giving whatever the government wants to take from you. That's just the way it goes, okay? Cut number four.
And you know what their attitude is? I made my money all by myself. How dare your government take my money from me? I don't want to pay taxes. Or I built my company with my bare hands. How dare your government tell me how I should treat my customers, my the land and water that I own, or my employees? They hate government. Government's a barrier to people. A barrier to stop them from doing things. They want to destroy it. We are not letting them do it, and okay. We're united.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you. First of all, let's pack that down for just a second here. We hate government? Okay, you are in damage control big time, man. See, what Chuck Schumer's trying to do is he's trying to save his own hide. We don't hate government. We hate inefficient government. We are a country that formed a government of the people, by the people, for the people. By the way, President Trump displaying now a Declaration of Independence in the Oval Office. It amazes me that we have not had one in there before. But now there is a display of the Declaration of Independence in the Oval Office. Good. That's excellent. That's fantastic. I think it's great. We don't hate government. We hate inefficient government. We hate bloated government. And we hate wasting our money. That's what we hate. I mean, there's lots of good things the government does. Like, you know, the military protects us, obviously, from foreign enemies when we don't use the military as the world's police, for example. But who are the people that hate government when you're trying to stop the government from removing criminals who are part of Trende Aragua, and you're cheering on the people that are standing in the way of those Border Patrol agents and those ICE officials and other law enforcement officials who happen to be part of, wait for it, government, trying to do their job, trying to do their job and remove these people from the United States of America. Who hates them? You hate them. You're turning around and you're saying that you hate them all. And then they try to turn around and say that you're all greedy and you don't want to pay your taxes. So there's a whole thing about how Tesla doesn't pay income taxes. This is the new thing now that they're going on to bash Elon Musk. Everybody who drives a Tesla or an EV has probably gotten a government subsidy. It's the only reason why they were able to get this market going in the first place was because people got, I don't know, I think it was like $7,500, maybe more. I don't know, maybe more. It depends on where you live, right? But now the Democrats are angry that Elon Musk's Tesla was not paying taxes, but these are because of energy tax breaks passed by Democrats to get people to buy these electric vehicles. I'm not for this. I've said for years it's crony capitalism and I don't want it. I don't want the government giving incentives like this. I hate it. I think it's ridiculous and it should stop. But they're the ones who did it, the Democrats, and now they're angry like this guy doesn't pay taxes. Yeah, you idiots, because you gave him the subsidies to not have to. Wall Street Journal pointing this out. Now that Republicans in Congress are getting their act together to extend the 2017 tax reforms, Democrats are trying to make examples of businesses that pay little or no tax. Their latest target is Tesla, insinuating that the billionaire is getting some sort of special treatment from Donald Trump. Tesla gets special treatment, all right, except it's from government mandates and tax breaks that the Democrats created. Quote, from America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren. American taxpayers will shoulder the burden of tax cuts for Tesla, and they deserve answers about your efforts to secure massive tax breaks for billionaire corporations. America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, cites a report by the left-leaning Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, which claims that Tesla paid no federal income tax last year and only $48 million over the last 3 years on $10.8 billion in U.S. profits. Now, this report does not allege that Tesla did anything wrong. The offense, in progressive eyes, like Elizabeth Warren and others, is taking advantage of tax breaks and write-offs that Congress has designed to encourage research and development and investment, especially in, wait for it, green energy. Yes, that's right, green energy. First, most of Tesla's $7.1 billion in net income last year doesn't even derive from selling electric vehicles, solar panels, or battery storage. $2.8 billion came from a sale of regulatory credits to other automakers that need to comply with government EV mandates. As EV mandates have increased, so have Tesla's profits from such credit sales. So what are we talking about here? Well, they do these dumb things like these carbon offset credits where companies will give money to other companies. They'll buy carbon credits. And the whole thing's a scam. All right. I don't even have time to explain it. We've talked about it on the show before, but it's a scam. It's like, well, we burn a lot of fossil fuels and CO2 carbon dioxide, which, of course, isn't bad for you. But so we got to do our carbon credits. So we'll buy your carbon. And it's a joke. It's a gigantic money laundering scam. But these other automakers who have to meet the requirements set forth by people like Gavin Newsom and his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, Phil Murphy, and even, yes, the Environmental Protection Agency on the federal level, if they're not producing enough EVs, and why should they? Because people don't want them. Then they have to come up with a way that they can meet their carbon emission requirement standard, blah, 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 regulatory credit. So they pay Tesla, and that's where they made $2.8 billion. Tesla made another $1.6 billion in interest income on cash and short-term investment holdings. Democrats can thank the Biden inflation for allowing companies to earn higher interest on their cash holdings. In addition, Tesla recorded nearly $600 million in book income from price appreciation in its Bitcoin holdings, but this is akin to an unrealized capital gain. Oh, and if Kamala Harris had won, they'd have to pay taxes on that, because don't forget, that was one of the hallmarks of her economic policy, was making you pay money on unrealized capital gains. That's right. Money you hadn't made yet. Unrealized. But the main reason, the Wall Street Journal points out, that Tesla pays little to no taxes because it lost money every year, was in business from 2003 until 2020. All companies are allowed to carry forward net operating losses to offset future tax liabilities. This encourages businesses to stay alive and to have a little what's called sweat equity before companies turn a profit. There's lots of companies out there like that that are not making money. They're not making a profit per se. They're making money, but not making a profit. That's business. In some years, you make no money. In some years, you make a lot of money. And that's kind of how it goes. But for startups in particular, it could take them a decade or more, maybe, to become profitable. And every business usually has a loss of some sort or another that they write off. I mean, that happens. And some people buy companies just to have a loss. They do. Democrats have long understood this, which is why they exempted most net operating losses from the Inflation Reduction Act's 15% corporate alternative minimum tax. That tax hits companies that make an average of $1 billion in annual financial statement income over 3 years, or at least it was supposed to, but it kind of gets complicated because of loopholes and everything else. So America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, trying to close those loopholes, decided that the corporate minimum tax was needed to ensure companies couldn't use loopholes to dodge taxes. But then they created loopholes in the minimum tax for, wait for it, green energy, low-income housing tax credits, because they wanted to, again, push the market towards those things. It's called crony capitalism, and Democrats love doing it. Tesla recorded $625 million from tax credits for its electric vehicles and $756 million for solar and energy storage business last year in the United States, mostly from manufacturing batteries. These tax credits can also be carried forward to offset future tax liabilities. Tesla had $1 billion in renewable energy tax credits on its books at the end of last year. They hate Mr. Musk. They hate him. One time they called him Jesus. But now they hate him, as you know. But their policies in trying to use crony capitalism to try to get more green cars and green panels and all the other nonsense that goes along with the climate Green New Deal scam is the reason why Tesla paid no taxes. They created these rules. The Democrats created these rules. They're not going to tell you that because they hate Elon Musk. But that was their goal. Their goal was to find a way that they could incentivize the market, and then you, as somebody who might buy one of these vehicles, you might get your own particular tax savings in the advantage of a $7,500 tax credit, or no sales tax if you buy it in certain states, or whatever it is. All to encourage you to buy one of these things that you probably don't want. Unless now you do. Because now Tesla suddenly is the car of the resistance, on our side of the aisle anyway, the resistance to the left. I mean, what they're doing to this guy is insane. What they're doing to him is absolutely crazy. Blowing up his cars, selling his cars, they don't want to have his cars anymore. And keeping people awake at night, like Chuck Schumer. Yes, he wakes up every night. Let's cue up cut number 5. He wakes up every night, terrified, at 3 o'clock in the morning. Because of people like Elon Musk. Cut number 5.
So a lot of people responded to the anguish. I appreciate it. I am furious. I wake up 3 in the morning sometimes, so worried about the future of the country under these oligarchs or
Kleps
or whatever, or, you know, oligarchs,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Yes.
And, but.
So, you know, you should do at 3 o'clock in the morning. Here's my advice. What I do at 3 o'clock in the morning. I wake up. I go outside to my grill. I don't turn it on. I throw a raw burger on there and then a slice of cheese. And then I take a picture of myself grilling. And then I'm able to fall back asleep. So that would be my advice to Chuck Schumer. Just do what you did in Father's Day when you pretended like you were the grill master, you freaking fraud. But Schumer is fighting to save his political hide right now. And there always has to be a villain. So now Elon Musk is the villain. He's the bad guy. He's the villain in the story right now. But on the left, to the Democrats, internally, it's actually really Chuck Schumer. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Quick break, coming right back. I'll tell you how The View confronted him right to his face. Oh, it's beautiful to watch. It's actually a View clip you're going to enjoy for once. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Oh, Suze Loves Jeffy has a school function. She's got to leave. I'm sorry to hear that. Hope your day is good. Tracy Neiman, Tracy Lee, listening to me on my deck while tending to my chickens. And my nosy commie neighbors are giving me a look. They don't need to be this close to my property. Maybe my Roddy should come out. I'm guessing that's your Rottweiler. Of course, we can't condone that, but... Anyway, thank you for listening, wherever you're listening, whether you listen on podcast later, whether you stream the show later on YouTube, however you get the audio, you get it, and we appreciate it. Our podcast numbers are still damn good, really, really good. So you might be listening right now on podcast, so thank you. And also, if you would, feel free to take the time and give the podcast a little bit of love and review. That would be great. That'll help the algorithms recommend it to others who are looking for this sort of content. And speaking of podcasters, you know, I was listening to the I guess Bongino had his last show, and now Vince Colonese is going to take over for Bongino. Vince is a great guy; he's a terrific guy, so I'm happy for him. Bongino, of course, going back to government, going back into law enforcement as the deputy director of the FBI. It's good he'll be there. I mean, he'll be great. He'll do a fantastic job there, and I imagine at some point he'll probably wind up back on the radio. So probably Sebastian Gorka will probably wind up back on the radio again at some point. But if you're always wondering, you might be thinking to yourself, all right, give me some good accounts to follow on X. And he put together a little list, gave a shout-out to some of those accounts. Unfortunately, I was not one of them, but that's okay. But I don't tweet as much as other people do. There are some people that's like their full-time job. They just tweet all day long, and they put great content out there and great videos and all kinds of stuff, and it's good. But if you're thinking about some accounts to follow in addition to mine, at Rich Scioli, which I hope you do, he had some of the best accounts on X, he said, from his last official Dan Bongino show, Cut 19.
Hat tip, the great Maze Moore. Maze, guys, are we going to miss Maze? Maze, can we get a little goodbye from you tomorrow? We love you, Maze Moore. If you're not following Maze Moore on X, you're making a huge mistake. At MazeMoore. Can you pull him up on the screen? By the way, I know you can share your screen. This account, folks, we love hat tips here because we are not the only people in the space. There are amazing creators who deserve the best. And I'm going to tell you something. Guys, is there anyone we've used more? There you go. Maze Moore on X. There's the account. Make sure everybody goes and follows him. I don't care if you tell him we sent you or not. Doesn't matter to me. All that matters is you follow that account. Great video content. Fantastic montages. Who else? We got Western Lensman's fantastic. I hate to leave anybody out. There's so many. You've got Gunther Eagleman, we love our buddy Chicago Ray, Insurrection Barbie. They're just so many. Who? Oh, of course, Cat Turd. I mean, Cat Turd's like the bad. We love Cat. There we go. Just fantastic accounts to follow. The Grabian, we love Grabian. Tom Elliott from Grabian. So if you're putting together a show, shout outs are important. Here is Maze Moore with a great montage of how the Democrats, prominent Democrats, used to claim at least that they cared about Waze.
So just so you know, of that list, Cat Turd was swatted and so was Gunther Eagleman. So it's not just talk show hosts. It's not just people on radio or TV. It's also influencers on X, too, who are going after influencers on, you know, I mean, they're getting swatted, too. But yeah, these people put together great video montages and they do a great job. We use Tom Elliott all the time from Grabian. He's terrific. And I'm really happy with that. Locally, one of our own, though, is I can give a shout out to Philly Talk, because Philly Talk also puts out some good stuff for us from a local perspective. And I have to give a shout out, of course, to Susie Cool, who always promotes the show. And a horse of a different color on Twitter. I just got to give him a shout out, because he said, and he's correct. And actually, I think I'm going to start using this going forward. I'm actually going to start using this going forward. I rarely take suggestions, as you know. In fact, usually I get offended and do the opposite, as the greater Chris will tell you. If he gives me a suggestion, probably going to do the opposite. But Horse of a Different Color on X said, "Excuse me, Rich, but that's America's Native American mother-in-law to you." I like that. What do you think, DeSantis? America's Native American mother-in-law.
That's pretty clever.
That's very clever. Good. That's really good. Really good stuff. And Newman Price said, "It's crazy how they went from praising Elon for his environmental innovations to becoming eco-terrorists just to spite him." That's true, in fact. Yeah, no, I know, but it's...
Wait, I actually, on my way into work today, I saw a Tesla driving around that had all these green, like, Green Party bumper stickers. There was another one that said Vanguard was... the reason that the world was going to be destroyed by fossil fuels. And I looked at the driver, and she was like an older woman. And I knew she was disgusted with herself that she had to drive around in this Elon Musk mobile, but I'm sure she had no choice.
That's glorious.
Yeah.
Does she have a coexist sticker on her car?
Any bumper sticker you could think of that was like pro-green, like far left, it was on the back of
all
that
right,
bumper.
You know what you got to do next time? Take a picture. We'll blot out the license plate, but we should post that.
Hopefully I'll see her again.
Yeah, please do. And I love that stuff too. But I do have to sometimes rein people in on social media. I'm not happy about it. I don't like to do it, but in this case I have to, because it's inappropriate. An exile in Jersey who tweeted out the following. He said, "Rich, I'm shocked that Matt DeSantis has not seen the original Top Gun. After all, it's considered one of the gayest movies of all time." That is not okay. An exile in Jersey. We denounce that here on this program. That's why I said to him earlier, so I'm surprised you didn't watch it because of the volleyball scene.
I have a girlfriend.
Sure you do.
Allegedly.
She was at
the broadcast last year at in Cape May.
Where's she now, out of curiosity?
Well, she's in Arizona right now.
Oh, right. Yeah. She's in Arizona. Yeah.
Mm. Well, she didn't travel back for to go to work with me.
And our buddy Lego's back. He disappeared for a while, but he's back. Lego directed energy weapon at Yale Wright. He's back on X2. So, you know, as I try to weave between the YouTube comments and also the X comments, but I will say, if there's anyone who keeps me honest on Twitter more than anyone, it's Johnny Cook, who calls me out. I think it's put it this way. For every 10 tweets that he said, I'll say one positive for every 10 nasty negative tweets is usually the ratio with Johnny. This is usually how it works.
He's great, though.
He is great. And the miscreant of weird, because again, the show can't be done without your input. The Zioli Army is I've said this before, it's the most loyal, creative, and intelligent, funniest audience in radio. Miscreant of weird is the one who sent me that meme that I talked about earlier in the show from Kate Hyde, who said, "First documents from the JFK files have been released. All I have to say is wow." That was a miscreant of weird who sent that my way. So thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. There you go. All right. So we got a big 5 o'clock hour coming up for you. It is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May. We'll get into that with you. But it's your lawn, springtime. What are you doing? It's beautiful. 60 something degrees today. Now's the time for you to get out there and take care of that lawn. You got to do it. And what you need to do is call my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. I've been using them for years. Two different houses. They take great care of my lawn.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.